When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's so much that life has to offer. There are ups and downs, but those ups are good, yes. But the downs are essential to your growth. So hold on and always look at the bright side.
You're listening to Crazy Smart Asia, a podcast exploring the unexpected stories of Asia's disruptors. 1 in 4 people will struggle with depression and other mental health issues at some point in their lives. For entrepreneurs, that number doubles to 1 in 2. As we approach the third year of the pandemic, with the added stress, uncertainty, and loss we've all felt still bubbling beneath the surface, now more than ever, we need to be ever mindful of our mental health. For Nadine Lustre, it starts with awareness. The actor, singer, activist, and entrepreneur has long been vocal about her own mental health battles, in the hope of ending the stigma around the subject in her native Philippines. If Nadine Lustre, with all her success and her millions of Instagram followers, can suffer from depression, the message would be loud and clear. It can happen to anyone. And then, everything changed for Nadine. Her brother, who was also battling his own demons, took his own life, leaving Nadine to ask if there was anything more she could have done to help him. In response, she doubled down, working with other public figures to launch the startup Mind You, which aims to make mental health more accessible and cheaper in the Philippines. She's also been increasingly forthright in sharing her own struggles with depression to spread the message to people at their lowest that they're not alone and that help is available, including a major revelation in this episode that she's never shared publicly before. In a candid conversation with Gentee's Lee Williamson, Nadine lays everything on the table, discussing music, fame, and the mantra that helps her get through the toughest of times. Here's her conversation.
Nadine, welcome to Crazy Smart Asia. Before we get going, I want to do some quick fire questions, if you're up for that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into it. Explain what you do in one sentence.
Oof, explain what I do. That is so hard.
Well, you do a lot.
Yeah, I do a lot of things. That's why I'm trying to put it all in a sentence. I guess I do things that make I do things creative, plus that makes myself happy. That makes me happy. Yeah.
What's your favorite social media account after your own, of course?
My favorite social media account. I guess that would be, I can't think of anything. Anything that is about architecture or interior.
Okay. You can say Generation T Asia if you want. That's also fine.
Okay. Okay.
What's your biggest guilty pleasure?
My biggest guilty pleasure would be, I guess eating cheese, because I love cheese.
And what's the secret, don't we all? What's the secret to a beautiful Instagram feed? You certainly have one. How do you get that perfect feed?
Color coordination. That's the key.
Absolutely. In 10 years' time, where do you want to be?
In 10 years' time, I see myself living on a field and still making music.
Okay, retiring to the countryside.
Yeah, retiring to the countryside.
Do you have a mantra in life?
I guess the only thing that I keep telling myself all the time, which I guess would be my mantra, would be you're good. You're good.
Like you're okay.
It's okay. Yeah, you're okay. You're good. I always say that.
Okay. What's the most important lesson your parents taught you?
The most important lesson my parents taught me, this was my dad's, and it is to keep your yourself grounded. Feet on the ground.
Well done. You passed a quick fire round of flying colors. We'll get into the real stuff now. I want to talk to you a little bit about fame. So you've been famous, especially in the Philippines, since you were a child. You know, you have 10.7 million Instagram followers. A lot of people will think that they know you, but they won't. They can't. So a deceptively simple question. Who is Nadine Lustre?
Oh, Nadine Lustre is many things. Well, Nadine Lustre is just a person who wants to be creative, who wants to express herself and be free, you know?
Yeah.
Self-expression.
And tell us a little bit about that journey. So you started off trying to do that from a very young age, right? Trying to express yourself in various ways. How has your career evolved as you've gone in pursuit of that mission?
I actually started doing TV when I was very young. I was a host at a kids' variety show when I was, I think, about 8 or 9 years old. And then from then on, it kind of just, you know, kept going on. I started doing commercials, started modeling. And then at 16, I joined a girl group. And then that's pretty much my entryway to showbiz. That's where I started ascending into the industry. And then got into a love team, did movies. And then pretty much that was it.
How did you deal with fame, with childhood fame? Like, in some ways, you've never known a quote-unquote normal life in a way. That damages a lot of people. You seem to have come out of it very strongly. How do you navigate that and come through it stronger?
It was actually very difficult for me because I started at a very young age. So I've always looked for, you know, having friends, going to high school, experiencing all these things, like going to prom, going to fairs. I never experienced all of that. And so growing up, I always thought that I was, I felt bad for myself because I wasn't experiencing this. And to me, back then, this was something that, you know, a teenager should experience, because a lot of people would say that high school is the best, you know, the best, how do you call it? That's the best phase of their life.
Phase of your life, yeah.
And then I was missing out on all of that. So growing up, I just pretty much focused on what it is that I have and trying to grow in it as well, in this environment. I've learned a lot of things, but just the same, even when I entered show business, I started being in the girl group. I really felt bad for myself for not being able to know how to communicate, because I was such an introvert. I never liked going out. It's not that I don't like, I just didn't know how to talk to people, because I never had that. How do I say this? I never had that journey, you know, just as from a preteen, meeting new friends and learning how to converse with people, how to socialize. I never had that. So it was really difficult for me, as a girl who's in the showbiz industry, to connect to other people, to just talk to them and to just make friends. So it was really frustrating at some point, but eventually being in the showbiz industry really helped, because there are a lot of people who kind of, you know, instead of you kind of wanting to talk to them, or you being able to talk to them, they would want to talk to you. So in that industry, there were a lot of people who were a bit older than me, who I learned from when it comes to socializing and talking to people. So
even though your public persona was very polished and you seemed very extroverted and confident, actually when, you know, the lights went off, the cameras were switched off, you had difficulty connecting with people, you had difficulty in expressing yourself and in kind of being confident in your own skin.
Yeah, it was totally different. Also, just because in the showbiz industry, it's really hard to express yourself or to just be yourself, because most of the people would want you to be a certain person, would want to fit you in a specific mold. And I didn't have, you know, I didn't grow normally. So pretty much those years of me being a teenager or being a young adult even was quite difficult, because I wasn't discovering a lot of things about myself. You know, I didn't know what it is that Nadine wanted. I didn't know what it is that Nadine didn't like, because I was trying to fit myself in this mold that the people around me made for me.
Right. You didn't have time to discover it yourself.
Yeah.
And so I imagine you can see very easily, because you have first-hand experience of it, how that experience can be so damaging to some, and, yeah. and it can be the undoing of other people. How, and it has been very, you know, documented many instances of this. How were you able to get through it and kind of hold your own and grow despite those challenges?
Well, there was a point where I was having an identity crisis, just because I wasn't really sure if this person, or if this person was me, or if this was a character or like an avatar that I was playing when I'm in front of the cameras. So when I would get home, I didn't know who I was. I was so confused. Everything like was super complicated. I really got depressed. I got so frustrated. I got depressed to the point that when I went out of the country with a couple of my friends, I didn't want to come back. Because there was just that heavy feeling of not, you know, understanding that you don't really know who you are. And that's a huge struggle, just because you don't know how to be, you know. Don't know the things that you like, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. And at some point, eventually, when I started breaking that mold, because it happened kind of gradually, there were times when I would feel that I'm breaking the rules, or I'm being rebellious, or I wasn't sure if it was right, if these things that I like, that Nadine really likes, is okay, or is it bad?
Such as what?
Yeah. Well, like getting tattoos, or just a lot of things. Because I was really growing up, I was really into. I was into gaming. I was into a lot of stuff. Even the clothing.
You've been given a prescribed route, and you felt like, can I deviate from this? Is this okay?
Yeah. It was always like that. And then every time I would try to speak my mind, it's like people would always try to scold me. Not really scold, but like, what, you know, they would ask me, why did you do that? Or if for example, like a reporter would ask me about something, because I'm the type of, I realized eventually that I'm the type of person who doesn't like, pretty much I'm not a pushover. You know, when you ask me something and I'm offended, I'm really going to show you that I'm offended, because that's not right. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
And before, I remember every time a reporter or someone, just a journalist, someone from the media would say something that's very offensive, it would hurt me, because like I couldn't understand why these people are being so mean to me. You know, the showbiz industry could be very harsh. People in the industry could be very harsh, but now it's more different, because now I fight for myself.
And you feel like, to begin with, you're like, should I be doing this? Should I even be standing up?
Yeah. And now I can stand up for myself, because before, when I would start doing that,
yeah,
people would raise their eyebrows and be like, why is she doing that? Why is she being so mean? Like, not mean, but some people don't understand that, you know, like when celebrities kind of fight for themselves, they see that as them rebelling. They see it as such a negative thing.
It's a negative thing. They'll throw the B word at you, right? They'll say, like, she's standing up for herself. Like, how outrageous.
Yeah.
Especially when it's female celebrities, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, when you're a female celebrity, or even just a normal, like any kind of celebrity here in the Philippines, when you're a public figure, people think that they could just, you know, kind of push you down, and people tend to feel like they own you pretty much. When they say something about you, or when they say something to you, you just take it. And you don't say anything in return.
And that began as a child, but is still happening now, right? Being in the limelight still comes with these struggles. The tabloids still ask you deeply personal questions. How have you grown, and how have you learned to cope with that?
I just keep going back to my foundation, I guess, and that is being myself. I just keep in mind that as long as I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, or I'm not hurting anyone, you know, I mean, you can stand up for yourself and not be mean. get what I mean? You can stand up for yourself and still be, I guess, nice.
Yeah.
I learned how to do that eventually. But before it was, you know that ring that you get in your ear when someone is trying, like indirectly trying to offend you?
Yeah.
I get that ring, and then for some reason I just become really aggressive. But I've learned how to be more calm and more poised when dealing with these situations now.
It's really powerful when you kind of, if as an individual you're able to get to that point where, like, I'm okay with offending some people, I'm okay with sticking my ground if it makes some people not like me. That's kind of universal, right? It's difficult for us, all of us, to get to that stage. And I think that's part of growing up, of like realizing, like, it's okay if not everybody likes me, because that's just the way the world is. But I imagine it's even more difficult to do when your career is based on popularity. When your career is based on people liking you, it must be even more difficult to get to that stage where, like, you know what, I'm going to have to break some eggs to kind of stand up for myself.
Yeah, it took a while before I get to that stage. But just because I didn't want to offend anyone, I didn't want to lose fans.
Yeah.
You know, and it's normal. But at the end of the day, all I had to remember was that the fans were really very supportive of you, would respect you. People who treat and respect you as a real person and not just an artist that they can, you know, that they can smother.
A commodity. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are the people that are worthy, or that you should just be, you know, like, those are the people that you need in your life.
Mm.
And I'm the same way, like, to people, especially when it comes to opinions. I mean, you can't really please everyone with your opinions. And it's just the same with my friends, with my family. It's not because they have a different opinion, I would, I guess, be enemies with them, or be offensive, or get angry at them. It's just knowing that you should respect one another. It's all about respect.
The second season of Crazy Smart Asia is sponsored by BNP Paribas Wealth Management. We live in a dynamic and ever-changing world where innovation leads the way, a world facing unprecedented challenges. We need to change the way we create and consume to fuel the next wave of change and build a brighter, more sustainable tomorrow. BNP Paribas Wealth Management is proud to support Crazy Smart Asia on its mission to tell the stories of inspiring leaders who are doing just that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All of these issues that we've been discussing, I think a lot of them are quite common to the general human condition, but are amplified, you know, times a thousand when you're in the limelight. You launched a platform called Mind You, which takes aim at some of these issues that we all go through. It's a platform to make mental health care more accessible and cheaper. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, how this started. It's a couple of common friends who invited me to join Mind You. Apparently, it's been around for quite a while now, and they've been working with a couple of companies here in the Philippines already. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's something that I've always been open about, my mental health, just because of my brother passing away due to depression. Since then, I promised myself and I promised everyone that I was going to be open about it and share all of my experiences and kind of just you know, be someone to relate to. It's actually, I feel like it's important now to have someone to relate to, just because it's a very difficult topic to talk about. And a lot of people here in the Philippines still think differently when it comes to mental health. They still think that it's just whatever, you know, it's just someone being dramatic. I mean, I've been told that so many times, and I've been called crazy before a couple of times. You know, it's a very sensitive topic, but a lot of people still are not very aware of the whole mental health situation.
How do we begin to battle that stigma, do you think?
Well, I feel like it really has to start with awareness and educating people and making sure that, you know, that they know that this is a real thing and that this is something that you shouldn't be ashamed of. Because growing up, it's something that I was ashamed of, just because, like what I said earlier, I didn't really have any friends. I wasn't really open to my parents. I don't know. It's just always been like that. And when it came to my mental health, at an age of, I guess, 14 or 13 years old, I would already experience anxieties. I remember this because I think I was at a shoot one time, and that's when I started feeling it.
Started feeling what? It was like a shortness of breath?
I was getting an anxiety attack, like a panic attack, and I couldn't understand why. And I remember telling myself that it's just me being dramatic, being paranoid. And I really couldn't understand what it was. But for someone at a very young age who doesn't have any idea what it is, it can be really scary, because, you know, like, you don't know what it is that you're going through. Like, is this something that I should tell my parents? Is this something that I can talk to my friends? Like, what if my friends tell me I'm crazy? What if my friends tell me that we don't want to hang out with you anymore because you're very dramatic? Like, you're this, you know, you're scared of being judged.
Right.
And at that age, it's something that would really scare you a lot, like people judging you.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you're growing
super
up.
Super important to you at that age.
Yeah. You're very conscious about yourself, and you're very conscious about what people think about you. So I never talked about it. And then I remember it just keeps getting worse and worse, to the point that, like, every time I would get an anxiety attack, I just wanted to run away for some reason. I just wanted to leave my house and just go somewhere where no one's, I don't know. I couldn't really explain it at that time.
And that happened to you when you, as you mentioned earlier, you left the country, and you also had one of these episodes. Is that right? And that's when you didn't want to come back?
Yeah, this was, I think, around 2015. I remember, because this was during my birthday.
Right.
Went to Korea with a couple of friends. And this is something that I'm not ashamed to talk about, just so that people could understand and people know what it is that I go through. These are things that I'm very open with. So I went to Korea with a couple of my friends for Halloween, which is my birthday. And I remember that I just had this feeling that I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to go back to my life, which was shooting every other day, events every other day, like, you know, like with a schedule, full schedule, jam-packed days and all of that. I couldn't take it anymore. And I didn't understand who or what I was really doing. It was pretty much, I felt like a robot, pretty much.
Right.
That's how it was like. And then,
if a platform like MindU had existed, or if you had access to that at the time, do you feel like that's would have helped, and that is what has kind of been the catalyst to you supporting this organization?
Definitely, just because that it pretty much makes mental health solutions easier, you know, more accessible. That's pretty much the goal of MindU. And also, there are talks. There was just an event a couple of weeks ago or last month that was online, But pretty much it's just other people going through the same thing, talking about what this is and trying to figure out. It's pretty much like a puzzle, you know, that is hard to figure out. And it is different for everyone. So it's nice to have people or other people or even friends just talk about, you know, mental health with you, just so that you're aware. And mind you, it's just that. So it is very important. There's so many cases now here in the Philippines, and I have a lot of friends who are actually going through it now, just because of the pandemic. They haven't really gone out, and it's just pretty much everything is opening back. Everything is going back to normal, but not really. You know, there's still this fear of getting sick, and or people who are kind of just in limbo for a couple of months or even for a year. And it is hard if you've been in that spot for quite a while. When things are back to normal, it's like, where do I start? Like, how do I get back on my feet? Like, what do I do? And it's, you know, you really, it's a lot of work to get back on your feet.
Yeah. You mentioned your brother earlier. I wonder if you feel comfortable talking a little bit more about that, because I realize that must have been a very traumatic period in your life. But also, as far as this conversation we're having right now about mental health, it must have also been a huge turning point. So from what I'm aware of doing my background research, your brother had depression and he took his own life. How did, you know, can you tell me a little bit about that experience, how you lived through that, and then how that changed you as a person afterwards?
So when my brother passed away, it was a long couple of months of, actually just weeks, no, months even, of just blaming myself and wishing that I had done something, or that I had talked to him about, you know, about mental health, what it is, like anxieties and all of that. Because I'm pretty sure that he has a bit of idea, just because he has a lot of friends. But it's still different to have someone who's there to support you and to really help you along the process. And I would blame myself because I wish I was there for him more. I wish that I would talk to him about his life more, or just asked him about, you know, stuff that's going on with his life, or just anything. And the thing is, I was so busy at that time. I was always at work, barely had the chance to see them. So there was no anchor to begin with.
Mm.
You know, it's like he just was spiraling, and there was no one there to kind of like hold him down or help him out. And the thing is, because growing up, we were never really close to our parents. You know, we never really opened up. I mean, I love my parents very much. It's just that it really wasn't that kind of relationship where I was open about my emotions. I was open about what it is that I'm going through. So my brother was the same thing. My brother is actually my sister as well. So he doesn't really have anyone to talk to about it. We discovered, though, that after he passed away, that he has a Medium account. So Medium is pretty much more for literature. So you can write poems, you can write short stories, or just anything on the app. So we found out that he has a Medium account, and that's where he would put in entries. And the things that he wrote in there, they were very beautiful, by the way. It's just that it was really sad. Mm. Like, he was really going through something when you read it. And the thing is, none of us knew about it. He talked to me about, you know, his whole, I guess, love situation a couple of times, but there's still a bit of hesitation. He wouldn't really open up so much. He would just give a couple of details and then would stop talking about it. And, you know, when he passed away, I wish that I could have asked him about it more, just because it was one of the major things that really pushed him to take his life.
It must have been so painful, of course, but also frustrating to read that Medium account after the fact.
Yeah.
To realize that that was his outlet rather than his family or friends.
Yeah, and it's been going on for a while because the entries were, you can see the dates. So when he started writing, on Medium, it was pretty, it was a while back before he even passed away.
Hmm. And how did this affect you and your journey? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you have been through depression. Have you ever been in a similar state of mind where you've considered suicidal thoughts as well?
I don't really say this to people. I mean, I haven't talked about this actually, but I have tried a couple of times. It's not really a good feeling. It's more of wanting to escape and wanting to end everything. Because when I'm having an anxiety attack or a panic attack, and it leads up to me wanting to take my life, it's how it feels like. It's like a lot of voices in your head, and those voices in your head are trying to put you down or saying that you're not worthy, that you're useless, you know, all the hurtful stuff that you could tell to a person. And it's always the case. I mean, before I try to do it, same thing. For me, to kind of stop it, or like every time I want it to stop, I try to take my life. And it's not just once that it happened. It kind of happened quite a lot of times.
You're so incredibly brave to be sharing this with me and with our audience. And I really appreciate that bravery and that candor. I can't imagine how low you must have been right there and right then. But rather than dwell on that, I'd like to say how incredibly strong and brave it is of you to be turning those immense amounts of pain and low points in your life and trying to turn it into a positive, right? You're telling me this story so that it goes out into the world and so that you can kind of destigmatize this, and so other people that have these feelings don't feel alone, don't feel like they're worthless. Because if Nadine Lustre, the famous pop star, you know, has these feelings, then anyone can, right?
Yeah, you know, ever since my brother passed away, a lot of people have been messaging me, leaving me, you know, just messages or sharing their experiences. And the thing is, a lot of people really look up to me just because of the stuff that I've gone through.
Yeah.
That's why I decide to be open about my experiences. I want to share it to everyone so that there's someone to relate to. And the thing is, you know, I mean, being in the showbiz industry, being a celebrity, there's still a bit of, how do I say it? You're pretty much a role model still.
Mm.
And,
of course.
And yeah, and I'm not ashamed to share this with everyone, even though it's a bit triggering, because I know that people who are going through the same thing or who went through the same thing could relate to me, and I could actually help them by sharing my experiences and what it is that I've gone through and the lessons that I've picked up along the way. And to me, it's really very inspiring to, you know, because I do the same thing. Like, I look up to celebrities who are also very open to their about their mental health. Lady Gaga is one. And I really look up to her just because, you know, she's such a strong person to go through all of that. I mean, my life is crazy, but I'm pretty sure hers is even more.
Mm.
Right? So I can only imagine how people who look up to me feel when they see or hear me talk about my mental health.
You use your social media as a force for good, whether you're supporting mental health campaigns and environmental campaigns. But obviously, I don't need to tell you how social media has also been proven to be damaging to mental health, particularly for younger people. How do you think we can start to address that as a society? It's clearly a big issue, right? How do you think that we can start to address this in a constructive way?
Oh, that is very difficult. And I've been asked this a couple of times. It's just, I guess we all have to be responsible on social media. There's so many things on social media that's fabricated. There's a lot of news that aren't real, that is easily spread via social media. There are a lot of, you know, photo manipulations or editing, which kind of makes, and this is one of the things that are really unhealthy. That's really unhealthy on social media. The standard of beauty is very different in real life versus on social media.
It's just fabricated, right? It's totally
It's totally made up. It's edited, not real. And the thing is, you know, for someone who's growing up, imagine if it was the 13 or 14 year old Nadine in that state, browsing on social media. And thinking that, wow, like this is the beauty standard, then I'm so ugly, you know, like I don't belong here. Then it really affects how kids think, like how teens think, just because they would feel their self-esteem would be very low just because of looking through these photos.
So as an individual with substantial influence, with your 10.7 million followers, as it stands, I guess the thing that you can do is A, don't present a sanitized view of your life. Like, you be honest as you are about mental health and not post images that are just insanely overly photoshopped and create this insane made up version of beauty, right?
Yeah, come as you are. Just be responsible, because social media I'm pretty sure that when they made all of these apps, this wasn't the, you know, this was an unseen, you know, like issue that was going to eventually come up after a couple of years. But yeah, I mean, as much as possible, I just try to be real on social media. I don't really edit. I mean, even if I do, people have seen my body so many times. So, you know, it's going to be obvious, but I mean, that's not what I do anyway. I don't like editing my photos. As much as possible, I try to be honest with the things that I do, because there are so many content out there that's fake, you know. Just don't be ashamed of how you're living your life, your real life. Just, you know, just be yourself. Don't try to be anyone else.
So I want to talk a little bit about your music career. So that's an area where you're also being very true to yourself, and you're also, you know, similar to your social media persona, you're not doing what is expected of you. You're doing cool new things. So your most recent album, Wildest Dreams, was the country's first visual album, for example. So first off, can you describe what that means? People might not know what a visual album is. And tell me why you wanted to go in that direction.
Pretty much a visual album is kind of like a short film, but it is composed of all of the music videos in one. That's pretty straightforward. So yeah, Wildest Dreams, I decided to write about my journey, because in Wildest Dreams, it's mainly all of my journeys and the lessons that I've picked up along the way. I decided to make it that, because I listen to artists like Jhené Aiko, Bjork, Lady Gaga, who are very, you know, their lyrics are kind of like very inspirational. Jhené Aiko especially, it's always about, you know, growth, self-acceptance, love. And it gives me, I guess, it makes me feel a way, and it gives me lessons as well. And the thing is, when I listen to these songs, it makes me feel loved. It makes me feel like appreciated for some reason. I don't know if it's just me, but I wanted people who would listen to my music to feel the same way, you know, to be inspired, to feel loved, to feel like they're important or worthy. Because there are songs in my album that's more of like a message to whoever is listening to the song. So that's the effect that I kind of wanted Wildest Dreams to have to my listeners.
And a visual album enables people to see that in a whole other way, in a much more visceral way as well, right? They can experience it visually.
Yeah, it's such an experience where, you know, it's not just you, I guess. There's a story to it as well. Mm. It's very introspective, the whole story of Wildest Dreams.
And you have a new track that just came out, right? Can you tell us about that?
Yep. So Wait For Me just came out. Music video is also out. It is a very emotional song just because it's about moving on. I recorded this song actually back in May or June, quite a while back. Obviously, we just have to find the right timing for the single.
How do you feel about it now?
No, I love the song. It's just there's a really funny story behind the whole single. Because when Careless initially sent the track to me, I didn't want to do it because of two reasons. One, it wasn't the same, I guess, sound as Wildest Dreams. Two, the vocal range, it was very challenging and I didn't really think that I could do it. So those are the two things that were making me doubt taking the single. But anyway, Careless really pushed for it. And so a couple of months later, Wait For Me is out.
So you nailed it in the end.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that I did. Yeah, I love things that scare me for some reason. And this is it. The reason why it felt so right was because I was afraid of it. I remember telling James that I didn't want to do it because it's, I don't think I could sing it properly.
Mm.
But then, you know, just take the leap of faith and then bam.
There we grow.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. There we grow.
There you go.
We'll be right back with Lee and Nadine. But first, let's hear from Grace Tam, Chief Investment Advisor, Hong Kong at BNP Paribas Wealth Management. She talks to Lee about new media trends and tips for investors for the new year.
Nadine's experimentation with new forms of media is a microcosm of an industry continuing to be reshaped by new technologies. Looking ahead to 2022 and beyond, what are the opportunities for investors in media and entertainment?
I think it's metaverse. This term has been gaining popularity recently. And in simple terms, is generally referred to the virtual worlds beyond the physical worlds. The virtual world has become bigger and bigger influence to our daily life, including media and entertainment. For example, the use of VR headsets in video gaming and its whole supply chain, such as companies producing displays, lenses, optics, and cameras, they're all good investment opportunities. VR is also expanding its footprint to social media, which is estimated to represent 70% of the total VR demand by 2030.
Nadine's startup tackles issues around mental health, which is representative of a wider trend of entrepreneurs focusing on areas where they can make a social impact. In BNP Paribas' Global Entrepreneur and Family Report 2021, what other common values did you identify among entrepreneurs?
Entrepreneurs globally are interested in integrating smart technology into their businesses or making them a focus of their investments. Many also cited diversifying their portfolios in a low interest rate environment as an important topic to learn more about. Furthermore, many entrepreneurs, especially in the US and Europe, they have already taken action to decarbonize their business operations and investment portfolios.
This is the final episode of Season 2 of Crazy Smart Asia and almost the end of the year as well. If listeners take away one investment insight they should bear in mind for next year, what should it be?
I would say stay the investor. Cash is not king. Plenty of investors tend to hold more cash than required. However, inflation is likely to stay high for longer and deposit rate remains around historic low levels. Even some central banks have started to raise interest rates. A portfolio with too much cash may not be able to beat inflation. investors can enjoy the compound interest, which could be powerful in long-term investing. As Albert Einstein said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it.
And now, back to the show.
Nadine, last few questions. I'm going to ask you a few questions that I ask everybody on this podcast. The first one is, you've reached a lot of success already so far, no doubt much more success to come, but already you've reached a huge amount of success and a lot of people would love to be sat where you're sat right now, but they'll never get there for whatever reason. What do you think is the difference that's got you to where you are at this point? Is there one difference about you, about your personality, about your work ethic or what you've done or something that's made you be in that successful position when many others that wanted it didn't get there?
I'm crazy. No, I mean, it's always going to be different for everyone. And this is my belief. My journey is not the same as yours. Probably you won't, like, you know, people can't get to this point just because theirs is different. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, we're not all the same. And I find it so beautiful that to each is his own. You know, we all have different journeys, and that's just it.
You know, when we created the name for this podcast, Crazy Smart Asia, we thought it was kind of cute and fun, and also, you know, it's crazy, you know, kind of a mix of crazy smart, but also just plain crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
The more I ask this question, the more I'm finding out that that's like super on the nose, right? You just need to be different and just pursue your own path.
Yeah, that's true. And you have to be passionate, passionate about what you do.
What's one question an interviewer has never asked you, you wish they would? You've done so many media appearances. I'm wondering, is there one thing where you're just like, why doesn't anybody ask me about X?
I don't know. Actually, one of the things that I wish people would ask me about was what you asked me earlier. And it was, have you ever tried to take your life before? Just because it's very sensitive, you know, you have to have a bit of guts to ask a person that, just because it's a very sensitive question.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I know a lot of people who have tried to take their lives just because, you know, they were going through a lot. And this is something that I've always wanted to talk about and to share, just because from the last time I tried to do it, that's when I realized that, you know what, how do I word this right? 'Cause the last time I tried to do it, that's when I realized that that's when I asked myself, why am I even trying? Like, why am I even doing this? Not to myself, but to the people around me. Mm. And the thing is, I just want to say, and I want people to hear this, life is beautiful and you're here to experience it. You know, like, you can go through a lot of you know, you can go through a lot of challenges in life, but those are just challenges. The thing is, when you go through all of these things, you look back and you realize why you had to go through it. You realize all of the lessons that you picked up along the way. And there's so much that life has to offer. You know, there are ups and downs, but those ups are good, yes, but the downs are essential to your growth. So just, you know, just hold on and just always look at the bright side.
Do you feel like you're getting the support that you need now?
I am, from the people around me, from friends and family, fans as well, just because I really appreciate all of the love and support that they've been giving me for years. And it's crazy. A lot of fans have been with me for more than 10 years now, and it's really, really crazy, you know, to just get to know them and then grow with them. And the thing is, like, I was such a different person 10 years ago. And now I could definitely say that I'm proud of what I have become. And I'm not ashamed of the things that I went through. You know, all of those downs, all of the things that I went through, all of the things that drove me crazy. Like, those are fine, because those were essential. Because if not, if I didn't go through all of that, I wouldn't have this mindset. I wouldn't be so at peace right now. And the thing is, to get to peace, it's a long journey.
Right. You have to earn it.
You have to earn it. And you have to enjoy that journey. You know, it's going to be a long walk, but that walk, you enjoy it, and it's going to be worth it. When you get there, you'll know why you have to go through all of that. That's what I always tell people.
If you were to leave our audience and your fan base with a final message, what would it be?
You're good.
Good. You're okay.
You're okay. You're good.
Nadine Lustre, thank you for your time, for your honesty, for your bravery, and for just generally being badass and joining us today.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
If you're facing any of the issues discussed in this episode, please remember that help is always at hand. Check out this week's episode description for a link to a list of suicide crisis lines around the world. That's it for the final episode of this season of Crazy Smart Asia. If you've taken something from this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to this. And please do leave us a rating and a 5-star review while you're there. We're taking a break over the holidays, but we'll be back in 2022 with more stories of young leaders in Asia and the unconventional paths they took to success. In the meantime, try to remember,
you're good. You're good.
We'll see you next season.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.